Hi, everybody. Welcome to Otsumami Party. We have a couple things. One, I am very happy to say that I remembered to activate my microphone this time. So the audio is so much better. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that because it was painful listening back to the last couple of episodes. And it's my webcam microphone. For some reason, Audacity decided to do that. But this time I double-checked, triple-checked that it was through my Blue Yeti. So that's number one. And number two, Saya, would you like to do the honors?
Sure.
We are
engaged.
Engaged. Yay. Yeah, we're going to get married. So we are planning on, you know, in a couple months or so and trying to get all of that
get married.
Planned. Yeah. Yes, we're planning to get married in a couple months, Saya and I. I know that it's been kind of not mentioned in previous episodes, but yeah, we are engaged, and in a couple months we'll be married, and it's going to be a good time. Now, how we got engaged is kind of a funny story.
Yeah.
Because I was going to go see her in her city, Albuquerque, and I don't really know much about Albuquerque because I've been there, you know, below 10 times.
Yeah, right.
And so so I didn't know, like, the best places around. And I did look around because I was planning on, you know, asking her on Christmas Eve. So everywhere's closed. So I was looking around, and we decided to do it in Old Town.
Which is, like, a touristy, cute places.
Yeah. So I had a plan A and a plan B, and they both went out the window as soon as we arrived. And eventually, in plan D, we finally got it. And it was so funny because Saya didn't know at all that that's what I was doing. And she was getting cold. She was like, let's go home. And I was like, no, I want to enjoy it. But I was freezing my butt off.
I was like, huh, he's very, like, I don't know, like, very, like, stubborn today. Like, he would always, like, yeah, it's getting cold. Yeah, we can just go home now. Or he would want to go home first or something.
Mm.
Usually. But he was, like, wanted to stay in the cold day and cold night.
Yep. I wanted to torture Saya. But in reality, I was just trying to find the perfect place to do it. In plan C, we were going to do it at a spot, and in front of us parked two older married couple. And when they got out, the guy was like, why is there a light inside the car? And the lady was like, oh, well, that's going to turn off eventually. And the guy was like, I don't think so. And granted, this was like less than 5 feet in front of us.
Yeah, it was just right in front of us.
Yeah, and I was, like, trying to gather up my nerve to propose, and all of a sudden, this elderly couple started arguing, like, actually pretty stubbornly and, like, didn't seem very happy about it. But the guy was like, I'm going to stand here the whole time and make sure that the light turns off. And the light never turned off. And
well, so because I think the light is, like, the alert.
Yeah, he was talking about a flashing light, and I think that was the alarm.
Yeah, so, like, it's supposed to be on like that.
Yeah, right, exactly. And he's like, why is it on? Why is it on?
Yeah, I almost wanted to tell him.
Yeah, but we were standing there. Saya was cold. I was nervous and shaking, both in cold and nerves. And then I was like, let's go over there. And then when I finally gathered up the nerve to ask her to marry me, she was wearing big old red Christmas glasses.
Because and we just went to the Christmas party, like.
And I was wearing a necklace full of Christmas lights.
And a bell.
And bells. And when I asked her, she goes, did you really just ask me with these Christmas glasses on? Like, I can't believe that.
Yeah.
So.
I was like, oh, no.
Eventually, I won her over and she said, I guess I'll marry you. Yeah. No. But yeah, we are
engaged.
Oh. We are engaged. I thought that would be a fun story to tell. But we are planning on a whole bunch of stuff, including a trip to go see her family and you know, the wedding stuff and trying to get everything going, and that's been very stressful, but I've been having a good time just looking forward to that.
Yeah, just share with us if you have any fun or funny proposal stories.
Oh, that would be funny.
Yeah.
To read some proposal stories on our next episode. Yeah, fill out the Google form. The link is down below in the description, and we will read funny stories next time if we get any.
Yeah, and also, like, we are still thinking about the wedding rings, wedding venues, mm-hmm. like, wedding ceremonies, you know. Like, it's just like there's a bunch of things to think about and decide ahead of us. So if mm-hmm. you have, like, any good ideas or, like, what you did went wrong or went really good or whatever, you know, like, if you have any suggestions, we're open to hear those stories and ideas, right?
Yeah, we definitely are. But I gotta say, finding those wedding rings, that's going to be so hard to top it, because the engagement ring I gave you was like 45 karat white gold and 1 million karat diamond, you know, so heavy you could barely lift your hand, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, like, I started wearing it in the office, but, like, every time I type in something, you know, my fingers are, you know, getting, like, muscle trainings.
Yeah, her third finger is about 3 times as thick as the rest of her fingers, so.
The third finger? Isn't it fourth finger?
Well, I'm a violinist, so it's 1, 2, 3.
Oh, okay.
If you're a pianist, it's four.
Yeah. Well, so but you know what we were talking about, which fingers we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah, the ring
it's
finger.
On the left. Yeah.
It's on the so
left,
thick.
Left side, yeah.
I said 3, but I think it's really like 6 times as thick as the other ones. You've got like a club just for a finger. You can hit people with it if they try to rob you.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, today, like, I went to, like, went out for a walk with my colleagues, and then, like, mm-hmm. when we came back, like, I was just, like, holding the door for others for a bit, and then, like, one of them were, like, fist bumps? Is that fist bump?
Yeah.
Like, we just do that a lot, kind of, like, high mm-hmm. fives, like, just occasionally, and just do the fist thing as well, and then I was just holding the door on my right hand, or like, and I just like unconsciously use my left hand, which is my ring is on, and then like I fist bumped, and she was like, ow.
Yeah, because it's like as big as her head.
Uh-huh. She was,
you know,
like,
the diamond is absorbing so much heat that mm-hmm. it touched her, and there's a diamond sized burn on her face. In fact, it's so big it just burned her whole face.
Yeah,
this is so bright.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm joking, of course, but
oh
anyway.
Yeah, well, but yeah, it's just kind of funny that like I literally didn't notice until she mentioned it, you know, like, oh, the ring, you know.
That's so funny. You have to fist bump with your right hand from now on.
I know, like, but like it's just like so unconscious thing. People in the office doesn't know yet, so
they just haven't noticed.
Not really.
Oh, weird.
I mean, like, the friend I fist bumped with knew it already,
of course.
So yeah, nobody comes to my desk and, you know, look closely or anything, so
well. You should start going up to people and then coughing and using your left hand to cover your mouth to cough.
I know, like, yeah.
And then shove it in their face.
Mm-hmm. Everyone but, was like, my friend was like, Token, you should, like, you know, walk with your hands up all the time.
Oh yeah,
like just by your face. Like really quickly.
Well, if anybody has any wedding hacks or, you know, things to, you know, like cut costs or fun things that we could include or whatever, just send us an email, fill out that Google form, let us know. We would be very happy to have that information.
Oh yeah.
So congratulations to us.
Congratulations to us.
Anyway, yeah, let's go ahead and move on to the word of the day. I'm very eager to get into today's topic.
Sounds good. So the word for today is shibui.
Shibui. Got it.
Yeah. It's an adjective.
Okay.
And it means, it's like, it is used to describe something or someone that has aged gracefully and gotten cooler with age. The closest English equivalent might be to say they've aged like a fine wine.
Yeah, I was going to say that. So it's like me, you know, the older I get, the cooler I get, you know.
Sure, yeah, of course.
Oh my gosh, you don't think so. Okay.
Oh, you're not that old yet, I feel like. But like, you know, like something, I don't know, like nicely, like if the old bricks, like brick building is like really aged, that kind of color could be like shibui. More like appreciating something get older or aged, but still cool. Mm. At the same time, we kind of use when younger people, like young kid, let's say, eating or like having like a hobby or something like a fond of aged things that like, you know, okay. So like if a young kid likes a record, like instead of like listening to the music on YouTube, but like they actually like the sound of the record or something, we could say, oh, like, you are very shibui.
It's like when I was a kid, first learning violin, all I listened to was classical music.
Yeah, that could be shibui.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Like, people can describe you as shibui. Well, like, tell you that, oh, that's shibui, yeah. Or, like, if the kid, not necessarily have to be kid, but, like, you know, like, younger people who usually, like, it's not generally popular to young people. Like the young people likes like, or the kid likes the smoked oysters or something, or canned sardine or whatever, and then like oh, that's like, you almost like saying you have like a little old like taste time,
like mature, almost
mature. Yeah,
yeah, okay, that makes
so
sense.
You can do that. Yeah,
yeah, I like that. I knew it was an adjective because it ends with e.
Right.
Most, you know, of like the adjective. Shiro is white, and then shiroi is describing something that is white.
Right.
Yeah. Or like midori, akai. Yeah.
Well, I mean, midori is a noun.
So you can't say Sayaka san wa midori?
Because I'm not a Shrek.
Yeah.
Of course not.
But I mean, like, could you say that, you know, Kaban wa midori.
Yeah, but like,
but you would add an extra e at the end, midori.
No, that's not how it works on that one.
Dang. Okay.
Midori, well, iro, midori no kaban.
So the greens bag.
The bag is green. I don't know. I don't know how to say it.
You're Japanese.
I mean, like, I know how to say it. I mean, like, I don't know how to explain it well.
I see. Okay.
But you could say akai.
Yeah. Akai. Kaban wa akai. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Or aoi. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Midori is just weird. Got it.
Yeah.
So, well, my word is macaronic.
Did you say macaroni?
No, not macaroni. It's not as delicious as macaroni. This is macaronic.
Oh, that's another adjective then?
It means mixing two different languages together.
Huh.
It stems from when people used to mix Latin with their vernacular words or non-Latin words. Or they gave non-Latin words Latin endings. Okay. I couldn't really find much of an example. But it can also mean jumbled, like the word jumbled. Like, all mixed together randomly. Yeah. So, it can also mean, you know, like, a sentence would be like, my sock drawer is a macaronic hodgepodge of unmatched socks.
Oh, I see. I see.
Yeah, and it seemed from my research that the language aspect of this word, like, you know, combining Latin with vernacular, is used typically in parody or, like, something humorous.
Hmm.
I wonder if macaronic, you know, so you know the famous violinist Antonio Stradivari?
Who made the Stradivarius?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Stradivarius, it's a, an Italian name given a Latin ending. So according to this particular definition, this could be, I mean, I could be wrong, but this could be a macaronic name.
Hmm.
So Stradivarius, Antonius Stradivarius, instead of Antonio Stradivari. And same with Guarneri. Guarneri del Gesu was another famous violin maker alongside Antonio Stradivari. And a lot of times in the copies of these violins, you know, like they're so famous that so many people have copied the violins. I mean, they made other instruments, but I'm a violinist, so I'm referring to the violins. In the copies, you would see Guarnerius and Stradivarius instead of Guarneri, Stradivari. So those could be macaronic words, I think. I could be wrong. So if anybody's listening and has very strong feelings about this, email us. Let me know. But yeah, that's my word for today.
Nice. Thank you for sharing. And
you'll see why I included this word in the topic for today. So let's go ahead and head there.
Sounds good.
So, now we're going to talk about something that defies all language and has been a mystery for centuries and centuries. And even things like AI can't figure this out. You ready?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's start with a little journey back in time. The year is 1912. You're in Italy, walking through the dusty halls of an old monastery when you stumble upon something truly curious. It's an old, fragile manuscript. Its pages yellowed and cracked with age, but as you open it, you notice something strange. It's filled with symbols you don't recognize, sketches of plants you've never seen before, and illustrations of people engaging in odd rituals. Some pages seem to have strange diagrams that make no sense at all. It has no author's name, no obvious date of creation, and its language? Totally unknown. Not a single soul has been able to decipher it, no matter how hard they've tried. Okay? Fast forward to today, this is one of the greatest unsolved mysteries of our time. People have spent decades studying it, poring over every page, every symbol, and trying to crack that code.
Still.
Yeah, still. And yet, to this day, no one has been able to fully understand what it says or even where it came from. Have you heard about this book?
No. I was thinking about the Rosetta Stone, or like, you know.
That's the opposite. Rosetta Stone, like, deciphers languages.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, I was thinking about, or, like, talking about the history, how people find out the hieroglyph in ancient Egypt or something, but I have no idea.
Well, this is something that Rosetta Stone can't even figure out. Totally unknown lost language. Or made up. Who knows? This book is known as the Voynich Manuscript. V-O-Y-N-I-C-H. A centuries-old enigma that has baffled historians, cryptographers, and linguists alike. So a couple of episodes, we talked about cryptographers. They couldn't even do this. It has been called everything from a hidden treasure trove of ancient knowledge to even a medieval hoax. Some believe it might even contain extraterrestrial messages, while others think it's a medieval doctor's secret notes. But whatever the truth may be, one thing is certain. No one has cracked the code yet.
That's crazy.
So, a little background. The Voynich manuscript was discovered by a rare book dealer named Wilfred Voynich in 1912, tucked away in an Italian monastery. The manuscript itself is carbon dated back to the 15th century, the early 15th century. So we're talking about something that's over 600 years old.
Okay.
It's made up of around 240 pages filled with strange script, bizarre plant illustrations, and some of the oddest drawings you've ever seen. Some pages even depict women floating in mysterious liquids or standing inside strange tubular devices. They kind of look like machines. I'll show you here in a bit. Some images look like they're trying to show how plants might be used in alchemy or medicine, while others are completely unexplained. Okay. So let me show you some of these photos. I mean, look at this.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that weird? Like, here's like what looks to be a plant tube, but out pops a naked woman holding a bulbous item that intertwines with a gigantic other bulbous item held by another woman in a plant tube, which is so weird to me, right?
Yeah.
And then some
it's
of these...
It's almost like a fairy coming out from a plant.
Yeah, right, right. Some people, I've heard that this might be like a fantasy book or like a work of fiction from the 1400s. But I mean, some of these drawings are so beautiful and so colorful and so like detailed. It's ridiculous, you know, especially if this is fake.
Yeah.
I mean, this is right here. This is the... Let's see if I can zoom in. I mean, like, look at this. These look like queens.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, this is the Voynich manuscript.
But the style looks similar to each other, I feel like, so...
What do you mean, similar to each other?
I saw, like, a different kinds of work, but, like, their line work looks similar.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely created by one person.
Yeah. One person or the one, I don't know, like, one... culture
or like one group of people, right? I know exactly what you mean, but like, look at this plant.
Is that even a plant? It looks like a virus to me.
Yeah, it looks like a virus or an eyeball, like an infected eyeball.
Oh yeah,
you know, some crazy plants over here.
It totally could be like something done by aliens.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely one of the theories. And look at this language. So the way this language is written looks like it was not done for the first time. It looks like it's a developed language that somebody like knows how to write. You know, right. The handwriting looks refined, you know.
Oh yeah.
No erasing. It's all done in ink. There's no erasing, no scratching out. And right. It's even detailed. It's like calligraphy almost.
Mm-hmm. But it's definitely some kind of language because I see a few same characters or the same later looking thing.
So here's the thing. Many people have tried to decode the script, trying to, you know, find the similarities of these, you know, like where these similar characters would fall in any given known alphabet. And they can't.
Yeah.
So some say it's a form of medieval shorthand.
What do you mean, shorthand?
Like, writing that, you know, like, if I were to write in shorthand, I would draw, like, a symbol, and that would mean a certain word.
Oh, like abbreviation, kind of.
Yeah, kind of like abbreviation. So a lot of people in, like, nowadays, a lot of people in courthouses use shorthand.
Right.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
But, like, that way of thinking is, like, it has to be alphabet. I don't know if it's an alphabet. Like, if it's, like, something totally different. Like, just, like, the hieroglyph or the other word that was written in Rosetta Stone.
Yeah.
I don't know how you call it in English, but, you know, it could be totally different. Yeah, different from that.
So, what I... am thinking about this, like, look at this, you know, if it was shorthand, I personally, I mean, I'm no expert, but these words, some of these words are like 6, 7, 8 to 10 letters long. So if it were shorthand, I don't think we'd get any words that are that long, right?
Yeah.
I mean, logic, you know, but I could be wrong. I mean, I'm no expert in any language whatsoever, not even English, but...
But what if, like, it's the other way around? If it's not a shorthand, it's more like the whole thing means A kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like,
it's reversed, like longhand, like, I guess.
Yeah. It's funny. It would be funny.
That would be very funny.
But, like, the thing is, like, the drawing doesn't make sense as much as... Or, I mean, like, it's beyond our knowledge. So it doesn't help, even if the drawings and the language is coordinated.
Right. Well, correspond because, to each other. Because even the drawings are unknown to us.
Right. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Exactly.
Well, but it could be something like somebody write it down and somebody else, like totally unknown, came in and draw something.
Like a kid or something.
Yeah. Like, mom is doing something, and they're like, let's just, like, make a drawing because I have a space here.
Yeah, it's a grocery list, but the mom's kid was like, I'm bored.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know, but it's very interesting.
Yeah. So, other, you know, like I said, some people think it's a form of medieval shorthand, while others believe it's an invented language or code, possibly meant to protect valuable knowledge. A handful of people even think it's a hoax, a medieval prank designed to confuse future generations. But after over, fun. Yeah, I mean that I would be okay with that. But after over a century of study, not a single person has been able to translate even a single sentence. Now, let's dig into the mystery behind the plants illustrated. The manuscript contains illustrations of what seem like bizarre plants, some of which resemble real species, but most of them don't. Some researchers have even gone so far as to conclude that the plant illustrations resemble plants that don't exist anywhere in the world. Some theories suggest that they are symbolic. Some suggest that they are from a completely lost ecosystem, but largely, people believe that there is something hidden behind them. So, you know, from the pictures that we saw, you saw a lot of plants that just looked wild. Like, one looked like a virus slash eyeball. But, and those drawings of women are especially odd, right? Some appear to be, like, in mysterious liquids surrounded by tubes, while others are performing what seems to be, like, strange rituals, right?
Yeah. What if, like, they're, like, actually, like, the virus are so hard to see nowadays? Like, we need a microscope to see it. But, like, back in time or something like it was huge. Or human eyes are, like, too good and, like, we're able to see those kind of things.
Well, I mean, we also don't know what kind of, I mean, I guess we do know, but we don't know if a kind of technology was lost between then and now.
That's true.
So they probably, you know, they were amazing. I mean, ancient Romans had plumbing and heated floors and, you know, you know, crazy stuff. And, you know, so who's to say that in the 1400s, people didn't have magnifying glasses or telescopes or microscopes. You know, they could see.
I mean,
see.
Like, they probably did, like, Da Vinci.
I mean,
invented something like that.
Yeah, Da Vinci or, like, Galileo or, you know, Newton or whatever. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I have no idea if these are, like, ancient rituals or some kind of forgotten scientific practice or just people messing around. So, what is the Voynich manuscript really? Is it an ancient medical textbook, an herbal guide, a coded book of alchemy, or is it something extraterrestrial? Theories range from the reasonable to the utterly fantastical. So could it be a hoax, or does it actually contain secret knowledge waiting for someone clever enough to crack its code? Like I said, even with modern technology, like artificial intelligence and pattern recognition software, no one has yet to be able to decipher it. I can't stress that enough. Some say we'll never know the truth, while others hold out hope that one day the code will finally be cracked and its secrets revealed. But for now, the Voynich manuscript continues to sit in Yale University's library, its pages still studied over continuously, and as long as it remains unsolved, it will continue to be one of the world's most stumping mysteries. So, that's what I have.
That was very interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've been very interested in the Voynich manuscript since I was a kid.
It's crazy.
But you haven't ever heard of this?
No, I don't think so.
When I was younger, I would look up, you know, the world. Because I was, you know, aside from being very religious, I was also very into the idea of there being something in the world that was bigger than us, you know, than humans. And, like, secrets and mysteries that haven't ever been unsolved and all that. And along with the Voynich manuscript, I also looked up the Antikythera mechanism, which was this mechanism that was found in the bottom of the ocean. It was a circular device. Let me show you. Right here. So the Antikythera mechanism used to be mysterious, but now they've researched it and discovered that it was an ancient Greek astronomical calculator used to predict and track the positions of the sun, moon, and planets. It was also used to predict eclipses and the cycle of the ancient Olympic Games.
It's like a compass.
Yeah, kind of. But like the fact that this is so detailed and, you know, so ornate and lots of moving parts and all made of metal and stuff like that, you know, and the fact that it was made in roughly 205 to 260 BCE, about 3,000 years ago. So this made me think like, oh, well, we don't know what kind of technology the past has or had.
They may have like, they probably reached to way more advanced than we are right now, maybe.
It could be. I mean, like, of course, now we are more advanced in many areas, but you know, for example, like the Roman concrete formula. Mm-hmm. We've never recovered that.
Right.
And concrete in the Roman era was so perfect. They used, you know, do you know the Pantheon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the Pantheon was made out of concrete, mm-hmm. and it's so big.
Yeah.
You know, like concrete in the Roman era was, you know, the advent of concrete in the Roman era allowed people to build buildings larger than they ever have in the past.
Mm, yeah.
You know, and it's so light, and they lost the recipe. Like, no one has ever recovered that recipe from the Roman era. I mean, we've created concrete nowadays, but it's not the same. Yeah,
they may have destroyed it for some other reason.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. This is ridiculous.
Mm.
Concrete. Can you believe that?
Mm-hmm. No, I cannot.
So, anyway, that's to say, I don't know what the Voynich manuscript is. I also don't know what kind of technologies they had back then that allowed them to see viruses or whatever that is on that page. I don't know if the Antikythera mechanism, I don't know how they made that, you know?
So, I mean, like, if you knew it, you're world famous.
Yeah, right.
Scientists are like the, archaeologist or whatever.
Right. So, you know, it could be anything. The Voynich manuscript can be anything and could be depicting anything. You know, something lost, who knows? It could be a hoax, who knows? But I've been fascinated with the manuscript all my life. And sometimes I forget that it exists, and then I remember, and I'm like, oh, I should look it up and see if they've made some headway on research.
Yeah.
But nope.
Yeah, those kind of things are just fascinating.
Yeah, and if anybody knows more than I do right now, please email us. Like, I haven't researched this in so long. Like, you know, I wrote this based on my knowledge and some Google searching, but I did not look up if they had decoded it yet or not. So if anybody has made any headway in decoding it, please email us. Let me know. That's like my life's like excitement right there. So just let me know. But that's all I have.
That's really cool. I mean, like, when I was a kid, I wanted to be an archaeologist at some point. And I was, like, super into the ancient Egypt and stuff. And my dad once said, like, you know, when he was a kid, you know, they found I don't know exactly when, but, like, they found, like, those ancient ruins and stuff. And then, like, but he thought, like, you know, like, it's gonna be harder and harder to figure things out because it's get older as we go.
But, exactly.
Like, we have more to know now, you know, like the technology advanced in a way and we know more about it, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
And one of the archaeologists that I collaborated with in my research before once said, so like we visited a site, you know, like that, like it's not like that like ancient ruin or anything, but it's a like historical place. So she has excavated with her team on that site, but she put everything back underground again after she excavated with the soil they excavated in like exactly how it used to be before she excavated, because she believes that technology will advance later on so that like people in the future, like, it, you know, it could be like 10 years from now, it could be 100 years from now, but come back and like with more advanced equipment, then they can research on more things.
That is such a mature thing to do.
I know. I was like so moved. Like I was like, wow, like I didn't even think it that way. I mean, of course, she's professional in archaeology and it could be something like current, the way of thinking in archaeology, maybe nowadays. But like, I was like very fascinated by that. And the other site, like the other site, the excavation has been done and became an exhibit. And that site plays as a good exhibit for the people now. But everything it used to be underground is gone now. So they cannot know more, possibly, in a way, you know?
Yeah.
Like, unless they have, like, preserved everything. But I don't think that compared to that method, I feel like it might be less. I don't know. Like, it's, like, it should be, like, it's just, like, a different way of thinking.
Yeah.
One side is like focusing on the current us, like the present, and like that's like one of the very important thing to exhibit and like know the history of that site.
Yeah.
But in another way, we can focus on the little farther ahead of us and then just wait for that.
Yeah.
The time would come. I don't know like which is better or anything, but it was just like one of the fascinating thoughts or like opinions.
If you do that, you run the risk of nothing ever being discovered.
Excavated again.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's true. Yeah, I feel like both are kind of connected to the future in a way.
Yeah, right.
Or future people.
But here's the thing. If you do that, you know, you have thousands of years chance of somebody coming by and trying to discover it again. You know, so right. So even if it's not discovered in our lifetime or in her lifetime or whatever, it could be, you know, who's to say that 100 years from now something can't happen? So I guess you leave it up. You know, it's almost like a yoroshiku for the future.
Right. Yeah. I think like definitely that's what she's doing, you know, putting the seeds out for the future.
Mm.
But yeah, we just don't know if it's going to be excavated in the future or not. But still kind of cool.
Yeah, right. Well, I think we should head off for the night. But I think that today's topic was super interesting to me. And I really, really enjoyed discussing this with you.
Mm, yeah, it was very fun.
I think it scratches the brain of both of us, like this sort of thing. If you ever are stumped on what to get me for Christmas or my birthday, like a book of, you know, just like a copy of the Voynich manuscript or like a book talking about something like that is like perfect for me.
And add it to your tsundoku list.
Oh, yeah. Except for it won't be tsundoku. I would actually like look at it for hours and hours every day.
For
about 3 days and then it'll be tsundoku.
Well, if I find something interesting to me as well, I might do that because it could be something for me as well in the near future.
Yeah,
we will be sharing.
Yeah. Anyway, well, in the meantime, let's get another drink.
Yep, I'm gonna get another drink.
Okay, bye.